listener production. We popped the lid on the Tupperware and it's passed the sniff test.
But it's still good.
And now we're reheating it just for you. These are the best bits of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. This one of the best episodes we've ever done because it has some of the best moments we've had here on All Day Breakfast. Sorry to start off laughing, but I just looked at...
I just saw what you're, yeah, what you're talking about.
Yeah, one of
you're
the...
looking at Shock Chock Knock on the Block.
I am, which is a story that Matt, you told a little bit earlier on this year, summed up very, very nicely. But that is what today's all about. It is the best stories, the best personal stories we've managed to dish out for you. And I got to tell you, it's good to have the best, the cream of the crop here, because, I mean, some of these lockdown anecdotes have been just scraping the bottom of that barrel to get the pond scum off the bottom of these places.
Speak for yourself. Thankfully, I've almost ruined my career so many times that I had plenty in the bank to withdraw from.
Yeah.
The problem being that when we were putting this together, there were too many stories of me, of career endings.
Yeah, this whole episode can't be all times Matt's embarrassed himself while acting. I mean, we can't have all of them. I mean, we've got one of them. We're kicking off with one of them. And it's probably my favourite of when you were on the short-lived show Monarch Cove. Was that a movie? Was that a show?
It was a series, yeah. I mean, my role was very short-lived, but you'll hear all about that. We also dive into the generous portions of certain meat found in Alex's freezer. I had a pebble thrown on my head. And speaking of pebbles, Alex tried to steal something that contains them.
Yeah, some pits. We'll go with pits. But it's all part of this one. Matt and Alex, the best of anecdotes for you right now. Hope you're having a good one.
You make fun of me, or not make fun of me. You know, when we talk about H2O, we talk about aquamarine, all these gigs that I did years and years ago.
Sea Patrol, Lithium, Opium Diponite, yeah.
Have I ever told you about Monarch Cove? So you don't even know about Monarch Cove.
You have never told me about Monarch Cove.
Exactly. Monarch Cove, a show they filmed out on the Gold Coast. Right? I auditioned for one of the bigger roles, didn't get it. They gave me the role of waiter. Right?
Ooh. Now, waiter one?
Yeah, I think I was the only waiter.
Right.
I don't know what my IMDb listing says. Anyway, this is a big gig. I have a line and I have a couple of days on set. Anyway,
Whoa. Basically
I'm a glorified extra. All I need to do is pretend to be a waiter, not attract any attention to myself in any way, shape or form.
Did you come up with your own backstory for the waiter, like his name and what they do?
At the heritage, like at this beautiful, beautiful hotel on the Gold Coast. Big poolside resort, right?
Yep.
Function scene. Everyone walking around. We are using real glasses, ladies and gentlemen. Please be careful with the glasses. All right? Me playing the role of waiter. They call action. I'm in the middle of the scene. An actor walks over to me, takes a sip of a drink, puts his empty glass on it. I've never been a waiter in my life. I was not expecting...
A bit of weight on on your tray.
I'm
literally
like
in the name, man.
I'm like this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Glasses smash all into the pool. We have to cut filming.
Sorry, everyone. There's glass in Monarch Cove. Not safe for swimmers. Can you...
We have to stop filming for like an hour. This alone is like thousands of dollars because waiter dropped the glasses, right? Anyway, my next day on set, I didn't realise that I was called to set. I decided to go have a pub lunch. I was playing the pokies, right? I get a call. They're like, they're looking for the waiter. I was in Brisbane. I was like, I don't have my dad's car. I don't know how I'm going to get to the Gold Coast. So I jump on a train. Halfway there, they're like, yeah, you don't need to bother. We've found another waiter. Career ender.
Did you take the train all the way to the Gold Coast or you get off it halfway and turn around?
I got off.
Take the walk of shame over the top of the platform.
I got off at Helensvale and crossed over and went back. Oh, my Lord.
All right.
I don't even think it's on my IMDb credits.
Well, you wouldn't be. They used a different waiter. They found just anyone.
My hand was in one episode. Oh, so, no, I am.
Anyway, we asked you if you've ever had a career ender yourself. And Angus from Adelaide answered the call. G'day, Angus.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, going okay. I'm amused. That's what I am. Thinking
yeah,
of Matt O'Kine's
suffering of others.
Sitting on Helen's prestation. Half Helen's cooked up from a pokies and schnitty lunch. trying to catch the train home after getting fired from an acting gig. But you have had a career ender yourself. What's happened, mate?
So I'm an electrician in Adelaide, and probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I reckon I was a third-year apprentice, and we were working in a data centre. And basically, I cut the wrong cable and it shut down Ticker Tech in Adelaide for about 2 days.
Just wait, a few units moved in Ticker Tech.
So, I cut the wrong cable, it's gone bang. And then they're like, what happened? What happened? Like, these security tech guys are like, what's happened? Like, Ticker Tech's gone down. So, basically, for like 2 days, no one in South Australia could buy tickets to any gigs or like anything. And it was all just like the second year apprentice fucking spot, which happened to be me.
Oh no.
So
and so
good.
What did the bosses and the Ticker Tech people, what did they all say to you when you said it was the wrong wire?
I got kicked off site like within 5 minutes. They're like, yeah, you can't be here anymore, off you go.
did they press you? Were they like, you're from, I bet you're a snitch from Ticketmaster. You've been sent here. Right.
I got a bit of a stern word from the boss, that's for sure.
Goodness me. I could just imagine the next wire you cut, you'd be just like one of those bomb disposal people in a movie, just sweat pouring
hands
down your face.
Shaking.
Violets are red. Violets are blue. This one, anyway, that sounds great. Thank you very much, Angus. Apologies. I mean, we've got lots of musicians who listen. Apologies that you didn't sell tickets to their say.
Yeah.
Like, geez, maybe that's why they always, you know, people skip over South Australia for the live gigs. Maybe it's because for some reason no one buys tickets in Adelaide.
Yeah, but, I'll call that blame. That's easy.
Oh, too good, Angus. Thanks so
we've
much
all done it,
for
Angus.
Letting
good
us
work,
know
mate.
There's no coming back from that. You literally just put your hands up and walk out the door yourself. You think, nah.
Yeah, you're not ironing the apron. It's just straight on the ground, out the door.
It's a Best Bits breakfast buffet. What tasty treats shall we indulge in next? Maybe this one.
Matt O'Kine, you told a story the other week of a little visit to the pharmacy in which you went in, a law-abiding citizen, and left a dirty, rotten thief, albeit with yeah. sanitized hands.
Yeah, exactly. I could clean myself of my sins. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I did walk out with two big bottles of hand sanitizer by accident. Turned, came back, said, I've accidentally stolen these. They said, oh, how good of you to return them. So I turned into a hero.
Well, it is very much like the Joker in the Batman films, you know. It's a sympathetic villain, you know, where you could, you know, some people root for him, who not. But I did laugh at you. I did think that was, you were quite the buffoon. But walking out of the shops yesterday, we'd gone for a walk at Woods of the Goods, and I went in, bought some pickled turnip alongside some other bulk items from this
okay, good.
Mediterranean
as long as that's not
grocer.
The only thing you bought, I'd be like, okay, that's, you know, interesting.
Well, we did go there for that because we'd run out because we're putting too much of it on our bibimbaps. But that's besides the point.
oh, I love a bibimbap. All right, go on.
Oh, how good are they, mate? Korean cuisine.
No, I don't mind.
One of the ones I could eat for the rest of my life.
You know what I don't mind? Bit of bulgogi as well. Ooh. A bit of beef bulgogi. Anyways, let's go.
Whilst you're in there getting your pickled turnip in the big jar, and next to it's the big jar of cornichons, so you pick up one of them, and then by the time you're walking out with your marinated, my hands are getting full here with these beautiful bulk groceries. And so as we're coming to the checkout, I'd put a jar of pitted calamata olives in my jumper pocket. We dumped them all on the bags. We leave the shop and Elle's like, I can't see the olives in the bag. And I'm like, oh, no, we must have left them at the thing. Oh, no, wait, they're in my pocket. Alex Dyson has just stolen some Calamata olives, my friend.
In your hoodie pocket. I mean, that is what the hoodie pocket was built for. It was built for stealing. Let's raise it.
So I just wanted to, before today's episode of All Day Breakfast, finishes. I just want to apologize to the supermarket down the road from me. I took your olives, and by the time we were halfway home, I realized, and I thought, I'll just fix you up next time. So I am going to pay you back.
Oh, what? But you haven't even gone back,
Matt,
yet? You're actually,
I'm at large.
You're
I'm a fugitive. I paid for the pickled turnips, but stole the Kalamata. So I am a wanted man, but hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, I won't be in chains and be broadcasting All Day Breakfast tomorrow from the Slammer.
All Day Breakfast.
Guys are having some time off to clear the backlog on their Netflix queue. So in the meantime, here are some of their best bits. Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Started raining the other day, Matt.
Oh.
So I did what you got to do in that situation, and that is close the window. You do not want any droplets in the house, right? But unfortunately, place I'm moving to a little bit older, and I'm not sure who's making windows, right? But very few of them last longer than 5 years where they just go up and stay up on their own.
Yeah, right.
When's the last time you used an window in a place older than 5 years? You're like, oh, that window works well.
The little window in our laundry, when you lift up, it goes straight down. So
unbelievable.
It's being chocked open by some sort of cleaning spray, right?
That's an interesting chock.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rounded edge. I don't know why we're using it, but it's the only thing in the laundry.
Well, we're using a plank of wood, right, to chalk this one up.
Wait,
right?
is this the talk back we're going for? What do you,
what's your
what
chalk?
Do you chalk up your window? What's your chalk?
I'm happy to go with what's your chalk. The story hasn't finished, but let's chuck a little bit of what's your chalk in quickly before we get on to the next bit. Because I've got to close this window. It's currently chalked with a little piece of wood.
Okay.
Not a squirty nozzled
bottle.
Very weird chalk. Anyway, I go to lift up the window with my left hand so I can pull the chalk out with my right hand. Window, too heavy. Old window with a very weak man. So this is not very good. So instead I lift up with both hands. I have to go up. I'm not quick enough. The window goes up. The chalk teeters.
Oh, no.
This plank of wood topples out my fourth floor window.
No.
I go, no, stick my head out, hear the clunk. It's this little side walkway. Luckily, it's sort of the emergency exit, not well used, but I see the thing of wood there. It's currently, I went and hid it in the bush. I'm going to get it on my way home. I couldn't be bothered taking it all the way up and then coming back down and going to work.
That's
I was
so
about to leave.
Sus. Getting rid of the evidence.
No, but
hiding your plank of wood in a bush.
Well, I want to get.
There's going to be a podcast made about you.
I was shutting the window because I was about to go to work. The thing fell out, and so I hit it. I'm going to grab it when I go back home now.
Sure.
But that could have been.
Not because you missed its intended target.
No, ready to be chocked again, ready to people get a bit of a shock chock on the bloody knock on the top of their head.
A shock chock knock.
On the block. So, yeah, what's your chock and when's it clocked someone?
But you know what it made me think of is when I was when I went on one of my first dates in high school, and when I say date, I mean during lunchtime, me and my girlfriend.
So you had asked each other out. Yep.
Yeah, I'd said, "Will you go out with me?" And she'd said yes, and then we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and
we went out lunchtime. Yep.
Yeah, and we sat under this bench. We sat on a bench underneath the overpass at Brisbane State High, just next to the tennis courts there. And I was very nervous because I really wanted to kiss her.
Mm. Right?
Very much wanted to go in for that pash.
Yep.
You know, the French tongue.
Oh, I would have hated you to kiss me back in the day. I would have hated that.
If I'm going to be completely honest, I don't like tongue at all. I tell you what, there's two types of people, tongues and no tongues, and I am a no tongue kind of guy. Get that thing out of my mouth now. Honestly.
What's it doing here? That's not my tongue. Why is it in here?
There's not enough room in my mouth for two tongues. So anyway, I'm already nervous enough.
What's your chalk? Where do you been clocked? And How many is too many tongues in a mouth?
And then, and I'm already nervous. I'm trying to think about, you know, my heart's beating 1,000 miles a second.
Yeah.
Right? And it just reminds me of how nervous I was when I went on my actual very first date with me and my date, Emily. This was year 8 as well. I was very nervous, so I brought my skateboard along and we went and saw A Bug's Life because I got free tickets from my sister. Have I talked about this before? Anyway, I remember.
I can't see why not.
I remember thinking it was cool to ride, take my skateboard along to let her know that I skated. And after the movie, I skateboarded next to her as we walked along Queen Street Mall. Just me on my board and her walking.
Cool dude.
Yeah. Anyway, me and Emily on our little date, school date. I'm drumming up the, you know, courage to kiss her. And bloody something hits me on the top of my head.
Yeah.
And it was one of her friends dropped a pebble on my head. Dropped a rock on my head. And they were like, aha, yeah, that was us.
Got clocked by a rock, not a chalk.
But anyway, out the front of J Block. It was no good, you know?
These are the best bits of Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
You know, my very first comedy fest was 2004, Alex Dyson. I've been going to the comedy festival. Yep, I was in the final, the national final of Raw Comedy in 2004. It was my fourth ever gig. Right, I was 18 years old and I was turning 19. On my birthday was the day before the grand final, and I stayed in this tiny little hotel room in the Victoria Hotel just around the corner, and I remember the night before my gig, I thought I'm going to hit the town and see what this comedy festival is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into this guy who I two people who I now know very well. Okay, one of them was Cam Knight,
right? Great comedian.
And Cam Knight was chatting with a friend, and I came up to Cam, and I was like a young gun back then, pretty eager-eyed. I didn't really, you know, very green. I'd done 4 gigs. So saunter up to Cam,
What was your material at this point? What sort of areas were you in?
We will get to that.
Okay, great. I was going to say, you walk up, start doing your set to him straight.
Please don't. I know, but I did. I walked up as if I was a, like, you know, big shot, you know. I sidle up to him. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I've seen you on Comedy Channel and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, cool. You know, nice to see you. What are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, I'm in the grand final of Raw Comedy. He's like, oh, that's good on ya, you know. And then he's like, and I'm like, what are you doing here tonight? And he goes, oh, I'm just going to go see, I was just about to see a mate, Dave Williams. He goes, oh yeah, do you know Dave Williams? I said, yeah, he's great. And then Cam was like, yeah, it was really good stuff, hey. And I was like, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, I've heard of him heaps. And then Cam walks away and I go to his mate, oh, what are you doing here tonight? And he goes, I'm Dave Williams. And I'm like, God damn it. It has been freaking 1 minute with these absolute clowns and I'm already getting pranked by people, embarrassed by these people.
Always the comedians.
Oh, my God. Then I go on stage and absolutely tank. Like, I mean, it scarred me for so many years.
Yeah.
Because Nick Sun, the winner of Raw Comedy, okay, he'd been doing comedy for about 1.5 years, right? Mm. He'd been doing it in Sydney. Oh, they're all tight group, all these great comics, they're all good friends. He's a pro. Yep. He comes out, does his form of anti-comedy, okay? Now, he has a Chinese background.
That's a tough avenue to go down. You've got to nail your anti-humor.
Right. He's got Chinese heritage, okay? So he comes out, he goes straight up, he's like, oh yeah, g'day, I'm Chinese, got a small dick, $2, sucky sucky, I eat dog, get over it, right? He's like, God, and that was his material.
Yeah.
It was the whole...
Yeah.
Oh, he goes, oh, I'm another ethnic comic, here's my ethnic comedy routine, and did that.
Sure,
that stuff,
yeah.
Right? And it was all completely right. Like, this is how bad ethnic comedy is, all right?
Yep.
The crowd is roaring with laughter, okay? Now, here's the thing. I was backstage. I couldn't hear what Nick Sun was actually saying. All I could hear was the roaring laughter, all right? So I'm backstage going, geez, this guy's doing well.
Pretty hot crowd tonight.
Few acts later, time for Matt O'Kine to come on, young ethnic comic from Brisbane, whose only material is about being ethnic. Oh. I'm like, what's the deal with being brown? I'm brown. People are literally just like, yes, we've seen this. Done better only moments ago. I get off stage, I'm like, what the hell went wrong there? Then I finally get sent a video of the whole night
the full...
from the ABC 3 months later.
Unedited.
I put the bloody tape in. Here's our winner, Nick Sun, destroying amateur ethnic comedy to bits and winning. And then here's me a couple of acts later. I'm brown. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, bro.
I didn't go back for 4 years after that.
No. Yeah, I should not think so.
And then when I went back in 2008, I had an absolute career ender because I went to Mark Watson's 24-hour show and drank the whole time. Then I had to do a gig. It was 5 p.m. in the night in the Arvo. I drank the entire 24 hours. Did my gig and bombed.
Why did you do
so? Because I'm an idiot, Alex. Why do you think I did it? Because I have made several stupid decisions in my lifetime and they have affected my career.
Bar's still open. I've finished this beer. I will just keep going for 24 hours and then get up and perform.
And not perform. Literally die. It was the worst. It was still the worst gig that I've done. And I didn't go back to this comedy festival for another 4 years. So it took me 8 years of warming up. When I finally went back, best newcomer alongside Ronnie Cheng. Thank you very much.
Hey, wait. So they treated the first two times like they never happened so that you could win best newcomer. It was literally erased from the archives.
From the memory. Well, it's because I didn't do a full solo show either of those times. That's why. But anyways.
It's a Best Bits breakfast buffet. What tasty treats shall we indulge in next? Maybe this one.
So I came home the other night, Matt O'Kine, you know, been out and about. You know, I like to, now that I'm allowed to leave the house, I do as I please. I like to make the most of it. Come home the other night, think, you know what? I really would like an ice cream at this point of my evening. Isn't it good when you, how good is it when you remember, oh, that's right, I've got ice cream in the freezer.
Bro, I remember when I first moved out of home, okay, first time ever. It's 2006. Moved into a little two-bedroom apartment in Milton that we called the penthouse, okay, because it was on the top of a two-story little building. And we used to get visited.
That's the what's one level above ground level. And I just, for those playing it through the maths at home, that is two stories away from the basement.
Well, it wasn't because there was no level above us. So we were at top of the town, my friend. And I remember just that realization that I was free because I remember it was late at night and I thought, God, I wish I could have a tuna toastie. And then I went, Matt, you can. And it was like the start of my whole new journey as an adult.
That's right. And it's a really great moment where you can control what's in your freezer. Unfortunately, this story goes the other way because as I opened it, I realized it was packed to the brim with turkey roasts.
Is this, so where were you? Were you at home?
I'm at my house, but my dad had been visiting and he'd spied a bargain and picked up some turkey roasts in the sales for me.
Whoa. Plural.
Seven turkey roasts.
No.
I'm not one to eat much turkey. Okay.
Okay, but, for starters, turkey sucks. Why do you think there were seven of them?
Right? And I'm like, what is happening here? I look at the cover. I'm like, what is it? I didn't put this in here. It's full. The freezer is full of turkey roasts. There's 4 1-kilograms and 3 2-kilograms.
Oh, my
I added up because at the front, like the 1 kilogram goes, serves 8. I add them up, 92 servings of turkey. And so I talked to my dad the next day. I'm like, what's going on with the turkey in the freezer? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Bargain of the century. The 1 kilogram going for $2.50, 2 kilograms, $3, $19 for the lots, mate. Oh. So,
I mean, look, I don't like blame him. That's a bargain.
Imagine all right? I could eat, if I ate turkey every meal, 3 meals, that would literally last me a month. of turkey for $19. You cannot beat that value, my friend. So my question to you is right now, when have your parents found a bargain? When have your parents found an absolute bargain? And let us know what it was. Can you beat 92 servings of turkey for $19?
When are you going to get started? Have you had one yet?
No. I'm not. I don't like turkey. But I respect a bargain.
I mean, I love a reduced to clear. Honestly, that is, I mean, I remember that was my life for a very long time, the reduced to clear, especially the chooks. Especially the late night chooks and the bread.
That's it.
But we asked you, what have your parents scored a massive bargain on? And Erica actually got in touch on Instagram. Erica, your parents are the king and queen of reduced price items.
Yes, I reckon they are. They're all pretty good.
Ian Dyson has a challenge up. Please tell us your bargains.
Well, so mum and dad regularly go, they have a bunch of shops that they haunt and they go at particular times and they will usually come back with like a piece of French brie cheese that's from $18 down to 5 cents. They get
Wait, sorry. Yes. It was down from $18 to 5 cents.
Yeah, 5 cents. So, and it says on the ticket like 98% off. Yeah.
So wait, was it just from like full price to 5 cents or what was, yeah. Is there?
Yeah, so full price. It'd been reduced a couple of times. You could see all the other tickets.
Oh, so yeah. It was wrapped in reduced to clear prices like a game of pass the parcel. You could just see.
Let's be honest. Was it blue cheese, Erica? Because I feel anything's going to get away with
it. It was blue by the end of it, that's for sure. It started off as fresh camembert and ended in the mouldiest cheese you could buy.
What else is on the item?
So there's been a whole bunch of like lettuce, like the big massive $5 bags of lettuce. They get for 10 cents. And
what? Is it even lettuce by the end or is it just a bagged green smoothie?
No,
like,
it's
I just
like
see.
Perfectly good. I had it in my fridge for 2 weeks because they gave me a bunch of it because I have twins.
Oh, it sounds so wet, Erica. It just sounds really so good. Wet.
No.
And Barramundi.
Ooh, so, the Barra. Like,
yeah, Barramundi. I think it was like $15 down to $1 or something. So they're very good.
You said there's some times. How can we learn from these people? What times do we need to be? Is it very early? Is it very late? Is it the middle of the day when no one would realise?
For some particular shops, it's around like 4 to 6 p.m. Mm. And then other shops will do it right in the morning. So they take all the old stock from the night before and then they reduce it so you get it in the morning. So it really depends on the stall.
Yeah, for sure. And did you find I've sort of, you know, inherited a little bit of that from my father. Do you find yourself also looking for bargains as a result of your upbringing?
Yes, 100%. Like, and I've passed this on to my husband now. He always likes going to the shops and tries to find a better bargain than my mum. And then he'll find it. But then when he shows my mum, she's like, I got it better.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us, Erica. Pass on our best to your parents. We'll also chat to Josh, who got in touch. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Good, thanks, Josh. Now, when you were a bit younger, your grandparents got a bargain.
Yeah, well, they decided we got too old for chocolate on Easter. So they were going through the catalogues and popped down to Bilo and got us a 24-pack of 1 kilo SPC tin fruit.
For Easter?
Yeah.
I bet you were stoked, Josh.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a bargain, but at what cost? how did
That's
you
just
enjoy?
What you want when you're a kid, isn't it? On Easter, fruit.
Yeah, I just had to wait for the bulk buyer to go on the custard and then go pick some of that up too.
Well, needs something drizzled over the top. That's right. Did you get Was it one of the good ones where you get those red cherries in it, so you think it looks fancy?
Yeah, it was actually. So that was a bit of a treat.
Yeah, beautiful,
well,
my man.
There you go.
Did you have to hunt for your tins in the backyard?
Oh, no. It just came in a big crate.
Well, time is money, Josh. So you don't want to be outside spending a bit of that on a tin canned fruit hunt. So thank you very much for joining us, my man.
No worries.
Well, there we go. And some say he's still getting through that turkey to this day. the freezer.
You didn't even save any for Christmas 2021?
No, I think, I have polished off the last of the birds that have come through. But thank you, Ian Dyson, once again, for his generous shopping for me. The turkey was almost as cheap as my Kalamata olives were, and that was $0. So thank you, my dad, for always finding a bargain, and thank you for listening to All Day Breakfast today. It was fun hanging out.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow with another Matt and Alex. We'll see you then.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.